It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I see a lot of nature components in her that are more akin to her birth mom.
But I said, you know, there's no way you would take on somebody else's child. And I remember looking at him just very calmly saying, why wouldn't I?
I loved her just as much as any baby that we could have had.
Well, his biggest struggle was, I'm not sure I could love a child that wasn't biologically mine.
Dear young married couple, is adoption a part of your story, or do you foresee it being a part of your story?
Or maybe even somebody that you know. If so, this episode might help you with some conversation points and some solutions about navigating the unknowns. We got to interview Josiah and Amber Aston of Sacramento, California.
Yes, actually, I grew up with Josiah. We are childhood friends. And we've watched them walk through this this whole process and decided, you know, it'd be really awesome to talk to them about their story of adoption and what that looked like for them.
Yes, it's a beautiful story and you're going to get to hear all about it today. And just a little bit about them. Josiah has a Bachelor of Music Education, a Master's in Ministry, a Master's in Leadership and Teaching credentials and administrative credentials. They're very educated. Amber has a Bachelor in Early Childhood Education and a Master's in International Education. And they are co-founders of an online school, actually.
Yeah, they're doers.
They are.
And you know what's interesting, too, is, well, you can't forget, he's a really great piano player.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Yeah. That's important for me.
For sure. So they're incredible people with a huge heart, and that's evident in their story that you're about to hear today.
Yes, and you'll have to excuse my voice. You probably noticed, but my voice is not like it normally is today. It's leaving me. So you'll have to excuse me.
You still sound good, babe.
Thank you.
All right, on to the interview.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Welcome, Josiah and Amber, to the podcast. We're so happy you guys are here.
Thank you guys for having us.
We are very glad to be here too.
Yeah, we're so grateful. You guys are friends of ours, and to have you guys here in person recording is awesome. And you guys have quite a story to share when it comes to adoption. So we're going to just jump right in. Tell us, rewind back to the beginning of the story, wherever it starts for you, and tell us how you guys came to the decision to adopt.
So ours was a little sudden. We did not have any kids yet. We actually were trying at the time. But when we came, it's my sister. And so ours was a little bit different situation. We came into this, we were notified about 3 months before the adoption, mm-hmm. Or before we actually took the baby, that we would need to maybe step in, that somebody was going to need to step in because of the situation that my sister was in.
Yeah, you actually had come to me and it was in the summertime and you had mentioned, you know, the situation and she was not in a good place. And so we didn't have any contact. And we knew that she was pregnant, but we didn't know when the baby was going to be born or anything like that. And he had had this conversation with a family member, and they were kind of concerned, you know, what would happen. And so he actually came into the room, and he was starting this conversation with me, and he made the statement saying, I said, you know, there's no way you would take on somebody else's child. And I remember looking at him just very calmly saying, why wouldn't I? Because I had actually always been open to adoption. I wanted to adopt. He didn't want to adopt. And we had that discussion before we got married. And so, because I'll be honest, I really wasn't like really keen with the whole pregnancy thing. So I was like, hey, you know, adopt. I love adoption. I think it's a beautiful story. I think it's a beautiful situation. I'd always seen it very positively.
Yeah. So, it's very Christian.
Yeah. You know, I knew very few. My dad had actually been adopted. My dad is adopted. His father, he was adopted. He was his mom.
Okay.
He was with his birth mom, but she married a gentleman and he was adopted. So I had always seen it very positively. And I remember he was kind of shocked, and he was saying, well, his biggest struggle was, I'm not sure I could love a child that wasn't biologically mine. And I kind of walked him through my thoughts and feelings, and was like, okay, but why, you know? And so I remember,
I'm
going to
jump ahead a little bit and just say that that fear was completely assuaged when we had the child.
Yeah. And I remember challenging him and saying,
I loved her just as much as
your own child. Yeah. And so I remember challenging him and saying, well, how we're going to know that this is the path that we should go down is, I'm going to challenge you to pray about it for 3 days and ask specific, if this is the situation, this is a path we should try to go down, ask God to put a love for that child now in your heart. And so he did. And he went into his office, and he was probably only there for about maybe 30 minutes before he came back, tears streaming down his face. And he says, I feel a love for this baby that I can't even put into words. And I said, all right, there you go. And so it was a very easy decision to make, to start that process of, okay, you know, we're going to potentially pursue that. And because it was a family situation, and because it was an unknown situation, adoption wasn't a automatic conclusion. We knew that there was a very strong possibility, because we suspected that we were going to be working with CPS and all of that. And so those types of situations.
What's interesting
are
is
very
the way she's describing it, as we knew it was a possibility, a very strong possibility. At the time, I didn't think of it as that at all.
How did you think of it at the
time? I was thinking, this is just a temporary, we're going to go take care of this baby for a while. And I did not think of it as being that we were going to actually keep her forever. I thought my sister was going to get her life together, and just my idealistic self, my sister was going to get her life together. Everything was going to be good. And then we were going to at some point, give her back. And of course, I'm really glad that we didn't, because it would have been very, very difficult.
And in what order do you guys already have a kid before?
So this is a very interesting story. Yeah, so I told you we were trying.
Spoiler alert. So we told very few people. We did express to our immediate family, and we weren't telling anybody at the time we were trying to have a kid. And so we were about 5 months into attempting to have a kid. Nothing had happened. And so I get the phone call. It looks like baby's on the way. Again, remember, we had no contact with birth mom before this. And so she was on the streets and that kind of thing. So I rush to the hospital. Baby is born. It's a situation we suspected, you know, was going on. And so she was born at, I think it was like 12:01. I was there in the room.
We did a midnight run to Walmart to get all the stuff we needed.
The next day, I was tracking, you know, everything. And so I happened to take my notes, my daily notes, and I realized I'm about a week late. And so I had a pregnancy test, and I remember, I think I texted you a picture. He was at work.
Was that the day after?
That was the day after our daughter was born. I found out I was a month pregnant
with our son.
So fast forward, our children are 8 months apart to the day.
Wow.
to the day. And so we had a lot of fun as I have this baby and I'm also pregnant and going to doctor's visits. I would confuse staff, people would look at me funny. And then especially after we had the kid, after I had our son, and, you know, I remember my parents bringing in our daughter, and after I had her, I was in recovery, and she's 8 months at that point. And the staff look at my parents and like, who's that? And they go, this is her other one. And, you know, of course, we had a lot of fun with it. But yeah, it was definitely a wild journey.
You could just see people's minds like working it out, like, okay, what just happened?
And sometimes we would kind of set that scenario up. We would say, you know, and then for a period of time, you know, every year they're the same because our son is born in the summertime and our daughter's in the fall. So for a few months, they're the same age.
Yeah.
It's fun.
My wife likes to share the story sometimes that I've said to when I'm a teacher and I was telling my students about my daughter. And I said, and we just had I have
a
daughter. I'm a dad now.
He goes back to
but it's not my child.
It's
my sister's child.
It's not my wife's. It's definitely.
It's not my wife. So it was pretty funny. I totally put my foot in my mouth about that.
Yeah. So it was definitely it was an interesting journey. A lot of hormones that are going along. Because I look back and I realize, you know, as being a pregnant woman, you have all of that stuff going on in your body, and then you have all the emotional journey of the process of adoption and all that.
Yeah.
And so so it could be very intense at times for me, and I'm sure for him. But especially for me, it's a very emotional deal.
Oh yeah. Cause you already have added emotions with being a new mom, even though you didn't biologically birth her, you still have so many different layers of emotions. And then on top of that, you're pregnant. So you have the hormones and emotions of a pregnant woman.
Mama bear feeling is a real thing, whether it's you've birthed and carried the child or, you know, you're adopting it. Mm-hmm.
And we had some very, speaking of Mama Bear, we had some very difficult situations.
In moments, where Mama Bear would have to come out, you know, and me as far as protective.
Some God moments, but.
Yeah, it's very protective moments. And so, so you do have all of that going on.
Yeah.
And so again, because of the type of journey we were on, a lot of the unknowns.
Right.
It could be even more intense because of that. Yeah.
Yeah, speaking of those unknowns, one of the fears that we did have before we picked her up, knowing that my sister had been on drugs for a number of, for years, and knowing that there was very likely drugs in the baby's system, knowing that there could be some developmental issues, and knowing that that could be something that we were going to be working with and dealing with, we didn't know what that was going to look like.
Yeah. And I'm sure that fear was magnified too, because you do work in the school system and you're very aware of what happens with that.
Yeah.
So,
and the challenges that those kids go through and the parents and
Did you guys have conversations before the baby was born? Like about, hey, what if she is developmentally delayed, or what if there are disabilities? Like, did you guys talk about how you'd approach that? Like just your parenting philosophy around that?
We did.
Very little.
Yeah. Amber has a bachelor's degree in early childhood education, actually focusing on interventions for that kind of situation.
Yeah, I think for me,
so for her, it was like, no, I mean, I'm good. I'm ready to go.
Yeah, I really got that question. I had family members saying, okay, you know, what if, and I think because, I have family that have been somewhat in this situation. I have an aunt who, you know, several decades with drug addiction and battling all of that and having a child in that scenario and stuff. And so walking this process, wasn't completely foreign to me because as a child I had seen my family do do that process. And so and again, because of my background, I would get asked that question, you know, well, what are you gonna do? I mean, this baby could be medically fragile. You know, you never know. It's not just developmentally, but it could be physical. And for me it was, and I don't know, maybe it's just my personality, but it was just kind of like an okay. I mean, it wasn't a factor for me to say, okay, I'm not gonna walk down that journey and that process. For me, it was like, we'll address it.
And I remember that question being even more difficult because it came from family members.
And what did that, what did you make that mean, the fact that it was coming from family members?
Because I guess for me it was like, you guys are, you're supposed to be supporting us and helping us through this.
Yeah.
And the doubt that they were sowing or the end of the mix.
Because so you said something that resonated for me. All right, so for those people that are listening that maybe have family members that are going through this journey, how would you have liked them to support you? Like, how do I support someone through this without sowing doubt? That they could have thought themselves like, oh, we're supporting them by having them think through this right now. Right. But that maybe wasn't helpful. How could people support someone going through this?
I think a big thing is you have to stop and look at adoption and realize, are you responding to the idea or the concept of adoption maybe through your own story or your own history? I remember we did let one individual outside of our family know we were potentially stepping into this journey, and it was the first time we had actually had a somewhat negative reaction, and he was had that interaction. I remember him sharing that with me, and I was shocked. And so one of the things I would say is don't automatically assume that the response you get back is going to be positive, because there are a lot of people out there with an adoption story in their past, maybe individually or a family member or a friend. And there's both the positives and the negatives. Sometimes it goes well, and sometimes, unfortunately, it doesn't. And so even though it's well-intended, you know, there's that fear. So when you have somebody and you're trying to support them, I think the best thing is just to ask them, you know, how you can just be open, you know, and just say, wow, what a journey. What can I help pray for you? Or is there something that we can help support you in, whether it's helping you to prepare, helping you to stock up supplies, whatever that is.
You're like,
it is.
In a few months, babysitting.
Babysitting. I mean, I think one of the things is, because you don't have the 9 months, sometimes it depends, because for us, I mean, it was a 3 month, you know, process of waiting. And in other cases, it can be years, you know, if you're dealing with maybe like a fertility, this is a long process. You can be several years before you actually get a placement. And so that waiting, what do you do during that waiting time? And then all of a sudden, when you do get a placement, it's very fast. You have, you know, within hours, one phone call, 5 minutes, and your whole world has completely changed. And so you don't have 9 months of a firm, you know, due date of this process is happening. And then you don't have the baby shower before. And how much do you actually, you know, buy beforehand with us? I mean, the only thing that we had actually purchased was a car seat and a stroller. That was it.
Well, and okay, so if my memory serves me, and it might not, I think you guys just bought a house too. Did you guys just bought a house?
We had sold another house and bought our second house.
I think we were probably maybe in there. You're right. Probably not more than a year.
I don't think it was very long.
It was not more than a year. And we weren't, I mean, long married either. She came a week before our third wedding anniversary. Our daughter's born. And so we actually spent our third wedding anniversary at our first week wellness visit.
So, all right,
we have a lot we can talk about on the finance side of things, yeah, for sure.
That's a definite.
But
yeah,
I do want to kind of address your question though earlier. I know Amber had already addressed it, but I wanted to add one more thing.
Yeah.
And that is, how can family members support us, mm-hmm, more, or support people going through this more? Yes, we want them to bring in those considerations, right? Like, if we have not considered the fact of the developmental delays, the possibility of developmental delays, then we would want them to bring that in. But instead of just coming in with, oh, do you really, I mean, like, as if we're not already thinking about it, coming in with a question, coming in with a have you considered, or have you kind of talked, or have you talked about the possibilities, just asking us if we've already discussed it, because we are coming in obviously also from a heart to take care of this child, no matter where they're at.
Yeah.
And if we have kind of worked through a lot of that, we've had to work through a lot of that. And so I guess family members or people in general trusting us that we have kind of worked through that, asking us questions to kind of make sure, just in case we miss something.
Sure. Yeah.
But not just coming in with, hey, you need to be careful. You better watch out. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's the tone. It's the kind of the spirit in which they ask. So if they're implying like, hey, like, I value your heart toward this situation and I admire what you're doing, you want to feel that sense of, you know, that they're supporting you. Yeah, trust.
And
that
it's a process too. I mean, I think looking back, we made the decision, and obviously it was our decision to make as the adopting couple. But what I didn't realize was our decision affects more than just him and I. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, looking back, it affects everybody. It affects, you know, siblings. It affects grandparents, aunts, uncles, friends, all of that, because they
were
the
ministries we were a part of.
Yeah. And so it could, because it's, I mean, time. Our unknown situation then was put on them too. Mm-hmm. And so I would say, you know, give grace, because it's not only you going through this journey, but it, the extended family, because they don't know, do I love this child with my whole heart? Because we may not.
That was definitely another struggle, even for us. It's like, how far do you go with your love, knowing that there's a possibility that you may lose her?
It may not work out.
Yeah.
How would you answer that question now?
Love with all your heart. And then just let God work it out.
Yeah, I don't think you can ever look back and say, oh, you should have held back a little bit more. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, you're planting a seed. And if God decides to choose a different ending to that path and that story, you played a role in that process. And the hope and the desire is that for whatever time period you have them, you're instilling in them the health that you wish and want for them forever.
That's
and
right.
they will look back at that. So definitely no regrets, 100%. I mean, it ended the way I had a feeling it was going to end, and we're happy that it did. But had it been different, it would have been difficult. Mm-hmm. It would have been a process. Mm-hmm. But no regrets.
Yeah.
None whatsoever.
Yeah. Wow.
So let's kind of change gear. How did this affect your marriage 3 years in, new house, second baby, pregnant? Like, and maybe to like try to address that question, what do you wish you would have known going into it? Like, how do people prepare their marriage for something like this?
We'll be right back to the interview, but first we wanted to share something that we are really excited about.
So, you know, we all have those times where we don't feel super connected to our spouse and we really don't know what conversations to have to get us to that connected place. And then on top of that, we're so busy that we don't prioritize those conversations.
And that's why we created the monthly live date night.
And monthly live date night is every month on a Friday night for 90 minutes, 60 minutes. We focus on a topic that you guys pick. And then 30 minutes, we do a Q&A and it's live where we're all together asking questions and giving answers on topics related to your marriage, your intimacy. And we share tools, We have handouts that we call homework because we want you to be there to listen and to soak in, but we really want you to take action in your marriage too.
So come join us live for the next monthly live date night. Check the link in the show notes for dates and details.
All right, back to the interview.
You have lots of conversations. I think that was the one thing that, looking back, I would have done again. Even because we were trying for our own, but I don't ever remember really us having a conversation about parenting styles, how we were going to approach that. It was, we're going to have a kid. Let's start trying.
Yeah.
You know, and you have that talk, but.
And that did cause a little bit of friction sometimes, yeah, because.
Talk about that.
So I'm the type to want to feel like I'm not really prepared. So I wanted to actually prepare as best I could. I like to read. So I got the baby books and I started reading. Mm-hmm. And I started thinking that I knew how to handle the situation, especially sleep training was one of the big ones.
I like how you did quotes because people can't see.
Sleep training, yeah.
And I say that because the whole idea of sleep training at this point for me is just let her handle it.
As in let Amber handle it.
Let her do it the way she feels comfortable as a mom.
Okay.
In a way.
Yeah,
I mean, and yes, there's some things I can maybe ask some suggestions, but in the same way we're asking families to just trust us and ask the questions. I mean, I could ask and come in with a different approach. Have you considered, hey, that maybe you could be less tired by doing it this way or whatever.
He approached it very, I mean, by the book.
Hey, but this is what the book says.
XYZ. And, you know, from it was bad because, again, my background is in early childhood. So I had done.
Well, she was also, like we talked about earlier.
You know, and I'm pregnant, you know. And so, yeah, we did have one particular night. He was determined to sleep train. I was not going to have it. And she was in her crib and I went for, you know, we have that crying thing and I just couldn't handle it, you know, and I look back, it was all hormones. Yeah. And so I picked her up and he reached for her
let the process work.
He reached for me and my body went into fight or flight. And I grabbed her and ran to the guest room, locked the door.
I learned my lesson.
Because my body was like, oh, this is protective. This was mama bear moments, yep. You know? And so it was probably 2:30 in the morning. And I'm telling him, don't you ever try to take this child from me.
He's knocking on the door saying, but page 228 says.
It's exactly. And he was quoting this book. And I said, I don't care what that book says. I am. And he was like, why don't you read the book? I said, I am the mom. I will know. And so there was so many, you know, situations of that. And again, because of the shortness of it.
Yeah.
We had not had a lot of time to really think about some of the deeper. We talked about the practical. Oh, you know, we're going to buy this crib and this car seat and that, you know, we need these supplies.
The things.
Yeah. But it's okay. How are we going to handle, you know, how are we going to handle sleepovers? Are we going to sleep train? Are we not? Are we going to allow them to sleep with us? How are we going to respond to, you know, the toddler tantrums or what's our approach for discipline going to be?
Right.
How do we handle, you know, family and friends? All of those really important things that you sometimes don't figure out until it happens.
Yep.
We didn't have those conversations. Mm-hmm. So I would definitely say if you haven't, have those conversations. Be prepared to change. Because when you're without children, and you're newly, you know, married or all that, you have that concept of, oh, I'm going to do this when I have kids or I'm not going to do that when I have kids. And every parent out there knows and is laughing because we've all said that. And when it gets to that moment, you may be dealing with a completely different situation, a different child.
Yeah.
We parent a little bit. Maybe we respond differently to our son versus our daughter. You have personalities, you know, just behaviors, all of that. Mm-hmm. And then as you grow, you know, we're 7 years or 7.5, almost 8 years into our marriage. And now, you know, many years into parenting, and we're like, we we've learned a few things. We've calmed down.
as with anything, the more you know, the more you realize you don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you just stop stressing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it seems like, too, what I'm hearing is really have an idea of how to figure stuff out together. Mm-hmm. 'Cause this is really conflict resolution, right? 'Cause you don't know all the things you'll face, but you do know the person that you're going to face them with. Mm-hmm. So if you could figure out how to figure stuff out, how do you resolve the conflict of, hey, Amber, come out of the bedroom now. Let's figure this out. Please go to bed.
Yeah. I think I've heard you guys talk about this before, the driver versus I don't know, remember the terms you use.
The pursuer and the withdrawer.
The pursuer and the withdrawer. Yeah. She tends to be the withdrawer and I tend to be the pursuer.
Mm, yeah.
So I tend to like, hey, let's work it out now. Let's figure it out. And she's like, no,
I need time.
Yeah. Let me walk away for a minute.
Very ugly. Yeah. It's definitely true. I mean, the only thing that you can guarantee is who you're going to walk that journey with. Mm-hmm. And so having those conversations and even having a plan of, okay, here's our keywords, here's our code words. Yeah.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, because you are going to have, you know, head butting times. So identifying and knowing yourself, knowing what you need and communicating that. Mm-hmm. And so we've kind of worked that out. Having him and telling him, okay, I need a timeout. I need a break. And we will talk about that. And then him learning to trust that when I say we're going to talk about that later, that we will, that I'm not just pushing him off,
but
we
key.
Are going to talk about it. Mm-hmm. I just need to calm down so that I can talk.
Yeah, because I don't want to be swept under the rug. And so for me, it's like, well, we need to figure it out, work it out. Mm-hmm. So as long as I can trust that we will come back to it.
That's good.
So do you guys remember how you guys brought it back after that instance of like, how do we figure this? I mean, because we could use this as a microcosm argument, right? Because there are other things that you had to figure out. Mm-hmm. How did you guys like come back to this difference in parenting and like actually work this out?
I think we still have those differences.
Some of those. I mean, I'm actually listening to a parenting book right now, believe it or not, called How to Talk So Little Kids Will Listen.
Oh, good.
Yeah. I think it was.
Which is pretty interesting. But I have learned, I mean, that like I approach it much differently. I'm not telling her like what to do. I'm just demonstrating sometimes. Hey, this is how, look, this book actually makes sense right here. I'm going to try it. So that if it's something that she wants or wants to look at or wants to think about, I mean, honestly, I've realized that that's not the way she thinks and wants to kind of work things out. Mm. I just have learned to demonstrate, to trust, to believe that she's obviously doing her thing and it's gonna work out. And together we still have conversations, but those conversations don't have to be in the moment when I'm like, there was an instance last week that she was a little short, like she was very stressed out and she was like, I can't remember exactly, something about Macy. I think she was, she's being kind of negative, honestly, I felt like, to me, from my perspective. Mm-hmm. And so I said, babe, just like cool down the negativity or something like that. And those are things that normally you don't do in the moment. You should not be doing that when in the middle of that's a conversation for later.
That's a good piece of advice. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think for me, it was learning trust. Yeah. That I could communicate openly about what I was feeling and how I was, my thoughts about it, and trusting that he would actually listen. Mm-hmm. And so both of us during
both, be kind of bullheaded.
Both of us this time during this process and stuff, we've done a lot of learning about ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so knowing yourself, knowing your triggers, knowing how you respond and how you process so that you can start using the terminology, this is how I process. Mm-hmm. This is how I go. I think about it. This is how I'm feeling.
Yeah.
And you can start using those words. Those I statements are so important, I think, especially during parenting, because you have two different individuals and
that's
they're
right.
approaching it very, very differently and realizing it's okay that your partner's not a threat. They're a team, but they are their own individual. Mm-hmm. And so having that trust. So if anything, working on that marriage relationship is key, because that will it will bleed into the parenting, mm-hmm. and into that whole family life. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what I'm hearing is mutual trust that the other person has the best intentions for the kid. Mm-hmm. And for you, right? And also recognizing the strengths in what each other brings to the team. Mm-hmm. Josiah has a different strength than Amber does. And you guys together form the team, Team Aston.
Yeah, we definitely, I'm surprised. And I mean, you can be surprised at your own self too, because we thought, oh, he's going to be the lenient parent, I'm going to be the one, and it's completely flip-flopped. We did not have that. We didn't think about that until we actually had kids, and uh-huh. It's completely flip-flopped.
Yeah.
So there are definitely strengths and weaknesses, and recognizing that, you mm-hmm. know, appreciating it. And finding the balance, because it's all about balance. So yeah, it's finding good. The balance and realizing, okay, I bring this to the table, he brings that to the table, and together we're just going to make this picture.
That's good.
So it's definitely a team effort. So
I like that. Talk a little bit about, just transitioning topics here, the concept of sharing with a child that they were adopted. What's your philosophy around that? And have you even approached that yet with, mm-hmm. she's four now. So talk about what that's been like.
So we haven't overtly addressed it yet.
Okay.
She's not at an age to really quite understand, I think, what's going on with that. But we have brought in books about adoption.
Oh, that's good.
In general.
Can you share some of those books? We'll put them in the show notes.
I cannot remember any of them.
Yeah, I haven't specifically. I actually have immediately thought of that process and what that was going to look
uh-huh.
like. And so very early on, I had actually reached out to a couple I knew that had adopted and asked them, you know, what have you done? That kind of thing. And so my philosophy is and will be, obviously I think adoption's beautiful. Mm-hmm. I don't want to hide that. This is part of who she is. This is part of her story. The one thing that I have been keen on is not highlighting it to the point that it becomes the thing. Mm-hmm. I've seen situations where adoption was so much a part of the discussion that I saw the child somewhat separate themselves from the family. Mm. And so while I am open to talking with her as she has questions and as we walk that process age appropriately, it's not going to be something that I want to discuss every single day, because I mm-hmm. don't want her obsessing it. I do not, and try not to, unless I'm forced to introduce her as our adopted daughter.
Yeah.
She's our daughter, period, yeah. into discussion. And so, you know, when we introduce, this is our daughter, this is our son, and we leave it at that.
Mm-hmm.
That was really hard when they were 8 months apart.
Yes. Yeah.
Because we felt like we had to explain mm-hmm. almost every time, because people were like, wait a minute.
Wait a minute, you know.
How's that possible?
You could see the battle. Do I ask the question? Do I not? Mm-hmm. Do I not ask the question? And I mean, there are some, because her birth mom is actually adopted too.
Mm-hmm.
And so, she shares the same eye color, but she's mm-hmm. blonde and neither one of us are blonde. Mm-hmm. So I know that there will be questions, you know, along the way, and even by herself, you know, yeah. what do I look like and all of that. But I don't ever want her to feel that she's not a part of the family because she's adopted. I don't
right.
want that adoption to become a stigma mm-hmm. that she's placed on herself and that people place on her.
Yeah.
So I have been cautious and have told friends and family, hey, this is a part of our story, but it's not the whole entire story. So let's not constantly bring up she's adopted. Mm-hmm. And so I would caution with that. I mean, it is who she is and it's part of it, but it's not all of it.
Right, that's good. It's not the main theme.
No, mm-mm, yeah. And there's going to be other aspects. She is still part of this family. And both in my heart, in my mind, my spirit, and legally. So I don't want her to ever view herself as over here and us over here, especially when we have a biological child in the picture. I think it'd be a little different if all of our children were adopted, but we do have a biological. So I don't want that ever to become an issue, because kids are kids, you know, and our son is obviously going to, you know, figure that out. At some point he's going to hear the story. He's going to be part of that. So I don't ever want him to make those comments, you know, well, you're adopted.
Sure.
You know,
like in a argument moment.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, come on, kids are kids. We've all said that even about our own biological sister, you know, siblings, you know, you're probably adopted. You know, and I know she's going to get those comments. And so, but I don't want them coming from us. She needs to know and will know that, hey, regardless of whatever happened, you know, you were chosen, you are loved, and you are part of us.
Yes.
End of story.
Well, knowing Macy, she could stand up for herself.
And that actually brings up another thing. She mentioned the physical characteristic of her being blonde and people, that question coming up. She also has a, we've talked a little bit about personality. And we realized we have, when you talk about nature versus nurture, in the past, I would have said most things, most would be nurture, not nature. But having had two kids, one that is not nature to, is not our biological child, I see a lot of nature components in her that are more akin to her birth mom. And I, and that can, that, it's hard to even say that because we want to just say, oh, it's hard to even say that because you almost feel like you're highlighting a difference.
Right.
But that difference is still part of her story, like you were talking
about.
And I
think that is something that definitely, if you are considering adoption, depending.
Very careful.
It's a lot. And often because we know her birth mom and there's family relationship there, we have obviously the understanding and we can share a lot about who she is and where she comes from as she gets older. In many cases, that history is unknown. And so I would say it's easy to go into adoption with a rose-colored glasses. And I would say you have to make that mental and emotional decision that this is a unique situation. It is going to come with some unknowns and you need to be prepared for that. This is a child who genetically may come with some tendencies that you have no control over. And depending on how old that child is when you get them and they're officially adopted in place. We had her from birth. We literally were in the hospital with her and she walked out of the hospital with us. So we were there from day
one. But even with that nurture, even with that from birth, we've been nurturing her from birth. There are personality, like for example, both of us are introverts. Okay.
She's an extrovert.
And a very strong extrovert.
Very strong.
And she's, and she just, and, she, and
she
there's
loves
a,
people. There's
she loves
life.
People.
Yeah.
And there's, a, and there's so much, and she's got a very strong will, which I mean, that's to be understood. We probably both do as well.
You have to go in with an open heart, open mind.
Be willing to change.
Be willing to work with that.
Be willing to recognize that, hey, my way is not the right way. Because we don't like the way that you maybe handle a situation, or maybe we don't understand kind of the approach coming from that personality, because I've never really dealt with that. None of my family members really, I mean, other than my sister, it's been different. You come in recognizing that, hey, this is her personality. This is who she is. And I'm going to love her and help her to flourish within that.
And work with it.
That's so good. I don't know if I ever would have thought about that difference. But it just highlights the fact, I think you have to be curious and not try to mold that person into your mold.
What you think they should be.
Like have those expectations, which only leads to frustration.
Yeah.
You have to like flow with it and just say like, who is this person?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What how are can they I gonna grow demonstrate? Them into the best yeah. person that they yeah. can be? Their
every,
potential.
Every night I pray, you know, we do our bedtime prayers and stuff, and I always pray over her and I say, you know, make her into a strong woman of God. And I'll be honest, when I say that, I have a picture of actually Mary Wilson. Mm-hmm. And in my head, because she is very strong. Personality. Mm-hmm. Macy is very strong personality and she is an extrovert. And so it can be channeled two ways. And so my goal is to, instead of shaping it, but it's to steer it in a positive way. Mm-hmm. And so if she's going to be a strong personality, we're going to make sure that she's a strong personality in the right ways. And mm-hmm. you know, if she's actually going to be compassionate, she's going to be super compassionate for people and that mm-hmm. kind of thing.
Also so. Giving her opportunities to be around people that have that. That are mm-hmm. like her more. For example, my mother-in-law, Beth, she has a very similar personality to Macy.
She does. There's some things I look so at and I'm like, you are not her biological grandchild, but you could be.
And
she
so,
does stuff. She says yeah. stuff. She acts certain ways. Uh-huh. And so I give giving her positive role models that mm-hmm. that this type of personality and behavior that's isn't good. A it's negativity. Okay. It's okay. You can yeah. be amazing successful with it.
That's so good, guys. So for parents starting this whole journey, and I mean, this is good just for parenting, but also super great for the adoption process and everything like that. I know you guys are both educated and readers and stuff. Where could you point them for learning more about this, or you know, what kind of books could you suggest, or podcasts even?
I have no idea.
All right, Josiah, here's your chance. Tell us what you're reading. So we have How to Talk So Kids Will Listen. So little kids.
Little kids will listen. What, yeah, there's another the book author? Called How to Talk So Kids Will Listen. But oh, okay. I don't, but I, there's both of them. I think the first, or the Little Kids Will Listen is the daughter of the one who wrote the.
Oh, that's cool.
How to Talk So Kids Will Listen.
So we'll link that in the show notes. Yeah,
but I haven't read the other one. I only read the little, I'm only okay. reading the little kids one. Yeah, and I'm actually very much enjoying it. Nice. But you know, it's been a long time since I read those books. I would have to go back.
We'll get the list from you guys and then we'll put it in the show notes of the books about adoption too that you can read to the kids.
Or maybe your favorites.
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. You know, honestly, I have to confess, I didn't do a lot of reading. We just mm-hmm. dived in. Mm-hmm. And I think that for me, for a personality like me, now like he said, he prepares by mm-hmm. reading and talking to people, getting mm-hmm. advice. For me, it was just diving in and being okay mm-hmm. with the process. I think the one caveat I would say about reading and doing that, definitely do it. Mm-hmm. Ask, you know, meet with people, sit down with people. That was the one thing we did right away was mm-hmm. we had a close friend who had actually walked a very similar path to that what we did as far as adopting a family member's child. And so we sat and sought advice from them. That's and good. So sit down, I think, is probably the biggest thing, even more than reading. Sit mm-hmm. down and ask those that have walked the journey what it was like. I've yeah. been reached out to via DM, you mm-hmm. know, saying we're adopting, you know, that kind of thing. What yeah. And I would just say, give yourself grace.
Yeah.
Be okay with the journey. Be okay with the process. Sure. Realize that your journey, your story mm-hmm. is probably going to look a lot different than some of the books and the podcasts and everybody else. And yeah. so yep. trying to put your story in that box could actually be a little bit dangerous. So sure. just be open. It's a clean slate. Let the story write itself.
That's good. That's good. So if people want to, you know, hear more about your story and they want to reach out and maybe they're thinking about adoption and they want to do exactly what you just said and hear more about your story, they can reach out to you guys. You guys provided some contact info here. So coaching@financialhope.net. If you didn't know, they are also financial coaches. And then also wilsonacademyonline.org. Amber is part of the Wilson Academy Online, which is a school that kids can go to from their own home.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you guys can get in contact with them that way. Also, Instagram, is that a way that they can contact you?
They can. My account, I will say, is private, but if you request, I'll look and see. And
okay.
For some security reasons, I have kept it mostly closed. Sure. But, yeah, you can find me.
Yeah. There. Mine is open. Heaven's Pianist.
because he's also one of the main pianists at our church. And so it's Heaven's Pianist, at Heaven's Pianist. Yep. Okay. Yep. Awesome.
And I do have Instagram or the Financial Hope Instagram as well. But you can just connect through Heaven's Pianist if you want to communicate with me.
Awesome. And what's your Financial Hope Instagram?
Oh, Financial Hope Services.
Okay. Awesome.
Also on Facebook and LinkedIn with the same name.
Fabulous. All right, guys, we're going to close out the episode the way we close out all of our episodes. And that is by asking you guys, rewind back to your first year of marriage. And this could be out of the scope of adoption, just in general. What advice do you wish you would have received? And then fill in the blank, dear young married couple.
Dear young married couple, give yourself some grace and your partner grace. That first year is a lot of transition. And looking back, I wish I would have given myself, as somebody who got married a lot older, I wish I'd just give yourself some grace. You guys are transitioning into a whole new way of life and you're not gonna get it right every single time, and that's okay. Just the honeymoon was a beautiful, but marriage starts and it sometimes can be messy, and be okay with messy. It's fine. Nice. You'll make it.
That's good.
Yeah. And along those same lines of grace, dear young married couple, realize that your spouse is going to think and be very different than you, and be okay with that and learn to work with them and love them and figure out ways to compromise and work through situations in a way that's going to help both of you grow.
Beautiful.
Thank you guys so much. This is a great podcast, and I know this is going to help a lot of people.
Yes, we appreciate you guys sharing your story, and we look forward to hearing people come forward about their own adoption stories and even their considering adoption stories once they hear this episode. So thank you.
Thank you.
All right, friends. We really hope that you got a ton out of today's conversation. And if you want help, if you want personal guidance with individual counseling or couples counseling, or even help with you as a couple reaching the goals you have, just reach out. Give us a call at 916-678-1797 or shoot us an email at hello@dearyoungmarriedcouple.com.
No matter where you are in the world or in your marriage, we can set up a counseling session with you and we can work toward progress. We also post marriage advice regularly on our Instagram, which is @dearyoungmarriedcouple. And we'd love for you to join us in conversation there. All right, see you next week.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.